Welcome to part two of our conversation about the haunted Airedale Asylum with paranormal investigator William Tavone. Do you believe that a majority of the spirits at the asylum were once residents there, or is there a mix of residents, staff? Oh, I mean, you could have even family members that are coming to, you know, supposedly visit their loved ones, you know, although that really wasn't such a thing for a majority of the life of the asylum, maybe only more so towards the latter years.
Exactly. In the early days, I mean, it was for us, it's a, you know, 2.5-hour, 3-hour drive, depending on 4-hour drive where I come from.
Sure.
In those days it was a, you know, horse and carriage or a horse, and, you know, it would take you days to get there. So, you know, a lot of people were put there and just locked up.
Yeah.
And never heard from again, which is really sad. But the spirits that come up are a mixture. They're, you know, we have a lot of patients, obviously, but we have a lot of staff. For example, in the chapel, there is a priest and a reverend. So, because the chapel was a shared chapel, so we have a Catholic priest, and we have we believed him to be a Protestant minister come through, and we have two patients that would help them out, still coming through on there, and we get them quite often. So, you know, that's staff and patients in one spot actually still working together. We believe that they're there because they're still administering to the spirits that still frequent that chapel. Because sometimes you'll walk in there and it'll feel empty. Other times you walk in there and it'll feel full, you know, that there's a lot of spirits around, etc. And, you know, I believe because that was their spiritual center, and a lot of patients found maybe solace in there, because the place, you know, any asylum's not really a nice place to be in, but the chapel, I think they would have found solace.
Sure.
They would have found some sort of peace, and I think their spirits will still head there at some point.
Yeah, they're still.
So, we get staff and patients, a big mixture.
Okay. Let me ask you this. You had said that an iron bar was thrown at you at one time. Was there something that you did to cause that? Did you provoke something? or was it just kind of like, well, somebody's pissed off that I'm here today? Tell me that story.
Okay. I think I upset someone. No, there's actually in the men's ward, there's a negative spirit in there that has a really bad dislike for myself and one of my investigators. What happened, on one occasion we were in there and we made contact with a female spirit in the men's ward, and people say, oh, that's weird. Why, you know, how's that? But, what happened in the last 20 to 25 years of the asylum, that ward became mixed. So it was male and female. not a lot of people know that, but, when you say men's ward, people just assume it's just men. But as I said, the last two decades or so, it was actually male and female combined. Anyway, there was a spirit there of a female, and she was, we made contact. She was quite distressed. The gentleman, the investigator's a medium as well. I'm not. I'm a simple, tech person. we made contact, and we were having a discussion with her through different equipment and different, you know, the medium gentleman, and eventually turns out that she was being held there, which is what we come up to. So all right, and we went away and we had a bit of a think about it, and we thought, we're going to help this girl to cross over. So we're going to do a rescue, spirit rescue. So, you know, with our group, it's a very much a real combination of, you know, your tech, your evidence, etc. You're straight down the line with the spiritual side of things. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we'll help spirits cross over when we believe they need it. And this lady, so we went in there, we thought we'd help this lady cross over. Well, whatever was holding her didn't want us to help her cross over. And, we basically were physically, attacked. The way it went down was, initially walking through the building, a gust of wind came through. It was a constant gust of wind. Now, the buildings are old buildings, and they have drafts and things. Well, this was pretty much gale force wind. it was that strong. Mm-hmm. What made it even stranger is it hit me, for example, initially on the right hand side. As I turned, done a 360, the the breeze or the wind stayed on the same side. So if you can picture that. So for me, what it was more, that was initially took me back a bit. And then the equipment went absolutely crazy. For example, you know, some of the meters, are K2, a couple of other things, the colors on their LED lights and things changed color, things like this. Yeah. There was banging and things were being hit. And eventually we moved this girl on, and as we're coming out, we physically felt like we were in a fist fight. And to the point where I actually turned around and I put my hands up to defend to protect my head. And this investigator, as we were just near the exit door, he grabbed me by the scruff of the neck, he pulled me out, we shut the door, and he sealed the door with energy, however he does that. And on the other side of the door, someone was hitting it. Something was hitting it physically, imagine with your fist just hammering this door. So we're on one side, this door's getting smashed on the other side. And that's the spirit that's in there. But on a later occasion, walking through there was only myself and the same gentleman. The building was locked down, and a 4-foot iron bar come flying out of the darkness and actually flew between us, end over end. So it was thrown with a lot of force. And that was quite interesting.
Yeah. Someone would have an experience like that, if it were televised, it would be, oh, it's a demon. But that's not necessarily. What's your opinion on what you think happened there? Just an angry individual?
It's a human spirit. I mean, yeah. I'm for me, you know, everything, unfortunately, yes, televised, everything's demonic. for me, it's just a nasty spirit, a negative person, you know, a bully, is the way I would look at him. This spirit is a bully. Now, a later experience, if I can talk about a later experience that come up as well, was an investigator was we were investigating, we're having a break. One investigator was on one side of this building facing the men's ward, sorry, of the center building where the hall is, facing the men's ward, having a cigarette. My wife and myself and a few other people were on the other side of the building outside having a chat. And this gentleman comes running through. Now, this guy was 6'4". He's a big boy, so he could look after himself. He said, I've just seen, talking to myself and Amanda, my wife, I've just seen you guys, I'd heard you guys in the men's ward calling me to go in there. He saw my wife, and he heard me calling, and my wife was saying to him, you need to come, Bill's hurt, he needs your help, etc. I was trying to get him into that building. And this was the same building that we had that other experience in. And he knew where we were, so it was almost a doppelganger sort of thing happening there. Yeah. And I believe it was the same spirit trying to lure this gentleman in so he could be on his own and there could be, you know, something could happen.
Sure.
So, yeah, just a real negative sort of negative, nasty piece of crap. Excuse my language.
Yeah, no, you're, but we can say anything you want on the show. Don't worry, I've already said it all. Overall, does the emotional energy change from room to room, building to building, when going around the Airedale Asylum, or is it kind of hold steady throughout?
No, 100% changes. You know, I mean, even the activity level changes as you with any location. Sometimes it's crazy active. Sometimes it's dead.
Sure.
But the emotional side of things, I tend to find, you know, there are a couple of locations where people tend to react very similar, but overall it can really vary. I always say when it goes dark in there, it's a living beast. It's a different environment completely to the day, so it almost comes alive, if you understand what I mean. But we do have certain areas where we have similar emotions being picked up. For example, the chapel is a really heavy feeling to it. A lot of people don't like going in there, whether that because there's you know, the religious zealous feel to it, mm-hmm. they might be picking up on that. The female ward in the operating rooms, where they did a lot of abortions and a lot of lobotomies, people tend to get quite, you know, uncomfortable in there. They get emotional in there. But those two locations specifically are the ones that tend to hold, to have that similar sort of reaction with a lot of people. But overall, the place tends to ebb and flow. So, you know, you might walk into the men's building one stage and it's quite calm, quite nice. Mm-hmm. And other times you walk in there and there's a real heaviness, a real emotional feeling to it. As I said, it's very much a living beast in the way you feel.
Sure.
Yeah.
This is an opinion-based question, but it's always an interesting one to ask someone who's experienced variations of this. Why is it that you would think when you go through a building like this, and it really can be applicable to any building that you're haunting, or that you're investigating that's haunted, that you're haunting. I'm implying something that's going to happen down the road. But when you're investigating it and you come across shadow people, you come across full body apparitions, sometimes it's just a feeling. Sometimes it's just something being manipulated and you're actually not seeing anything with your own eyes. Why is it that certain spirits are manifesting themselves in one way over another? Or is it just kind of what we're picking up at that moment in time? To hear your thoughts.
Good question. I mean, the human mind, I believe, has filters built into it, obviously. So we tend to a lot of the things we see, it's processed through our experiential beliefs and programming from the past. So a lot of people who say, for example, a lot of people don't believe in paranormal. A lot of people do. So I think that plays an aspect as well. So if you're brought up with some sort of spiritual background, some sort of, you know, open to the paranormal background, then you might be open more to see what's going on. Each person is an individual, and you know, depending on a whole range of factors, they might be completely open and are able to see things a lot, but have had a crap day, so their senses are shut down or blocked or fogged or whatever you want to call it. Now, other people don't believe, so they might be shut off as well. But each person, I look at each person as an individual, and some people are open, and I look at spirits the same way. So some spirits are, you know, I believe they have their preferences in how they show themselves. Some like to physically show themselves because, you know, that's what they can do. That's their experience. Mm-hmm. And the reactions they get off people that way. And I'm not saying they're negative or positive. You know, some people, or some spirit, I believe, like to show themselves that way because they get a bit of a reaction. You know, they are, you know, the people react differently. The energy that the people they're presenting to react differently. So the energy they give off, you know, is different for them. But I also believe that, you know, it's like a skill. You know, some spirits can't show themselves physically, but they can knock and make noises or talk, you know, sound. So it comes down to experience for the spirit. But as I said, for the living person, I think it comes down to their mindset a lot of the time, whether they see or experience what's being presented to them. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had a lot of activity going on, and some people are picking nothing up.
Sure.
Other people are seeing everything, and you know, whatever the reason for that, as I said, you know, to me, it's very much to do with the mind. Mm-hmm. And whether it's, you know, as I said, their experiential past, or whether it's, you know, that they just had a crap day and they're not open to it at the moment.
Sure.
So, there's a whole range of factors. That's a really big question.
It is, and it can go in any which way. That's why it's very much opinion based.
Yeah, it's a really good question.
Yeah,
but you know, to me, I've been an investigator this year, 34 years, and you know, I mean, it's I've seen so many different things. For me, it's a really good thing when someone who doesn't believe, or you know, has not had any experience, so they don't know whether it's real, has an experience, mm-hmm. and that the way they open up after that, you know what I mean?
Sure.
To me is amazing. What one experience, if I can just put this out there, was there's a hotel, a pub in our CBD in Melbourne. It used to be an old police station. And I used to do an investigation tour there. And a lot of the time then, because it was in Melbourne, it was closed for people to come, a lot of wives would drag their husbands along. And, you know, the wives are really into it, but the husbands are bored, you know, and they're, this is, you know, I'm here for my wife, basically. There was one guy there, and he looked like, I mean, he looked absolutely bored. And I tried to interact with them. I tried to get them involved. But, you know, some guys just, they want to be home watching the, you know, football or whatever it might be. And that's cool. But we would, back then, this is quite a few years ago, I used to finish off with a spirit box session. Because that used to flip a lot of people out. And I always like to do that at the end to, but they walk away, their mind's thinking. Well, we've got these people sitting around this table, and I've said, can you say someone's name? And well, this gentleman who was the whole night just looked like he was ready to slit his wrists. It said his first and surname on this thing. I looked straight at him, and he went white, and his mouth dropped open, and he looked at me, and he just shaking his head like, what? Well, anyway, after that, he came up to me, he shook my hand, he said, you know, he said, I wasn't believing any of this until that happened. And, you know, they come on a bunch of tours afterwards, and he was the one bringing his wife. So, you know, that sort of thing, when people have that experience and it opens them up a little bit, you know, that's really big for me. You know, when you see that mind switch, that mindset switch,
sure.
you know, is really good for me. You know, yeah.
What does the future hold for the Airedale Asylum?
You know what, matey, it's an old building. It needs a lot of work. We are unable to do overnight investigations there anymore because of there's certain things that aren't up to code, and it would cost millions of dollars to bring it up to code. Mm-hmm. The gentleman who runs the tours over there, Nate from Erie Tours, I'll give him a plug. he's a great guy. He's a real intelligent man, a good friend of mine, and you know, he does everything he can to keep these tours going. You know, the future, I think, you know, at the moment it's pretty good. There's, you know, there's the his company there basically keeps the a big part of the financial income of that town. So I think it would be very bad for it to close down, and it would not, you know, not be good for the town. But I do think there needs to be some, you know, some sort of restoration works or something to keep to stop the place from falling into any more disrepair.
Sure.
But you know, it's an ongoing battle. We keep fighting. We keep pushing. You know, the boundaries, trying to get you know, to get these locations up and, you know, back to how they used to be.
That's the interesting thing in the States. A lot of the same things are going on with various locations, and at first it was an interesting thing where you go, well, this is interesting, like paying money to go into a location to investigate. But then you think, well, this is the only thing that's going to keep this building alive.
Exactly.
And it can be a great thing for some of these facilities, because
yes.
otherwise they are going to fall into disrepair. They will literally collapse, you know, or just be torn down because their hazards. So it's really kind of an amazing thing, and I'm saying, and it's cool to hear that this is happening in other parts of the world as well, where paranormal tourism essentially is saving giant parts of our history, and that's a neat
100%.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with William Tabone about the haunted Airedale Asylum. Thank you guys for supporting our program and keeping us on the air as gravekeepers. Until next time, for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.